This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mid Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. My man, the heat wave, it's continuing here in my neck of the woods. How are things there in the great city of Cleveland?
We're fine. It's just humid as hell. We get a little rainforest action right now over the weekend, but the grass looks great. Glad I got out and did the lawn before the rains came yesterday. First time all summer, Dave, I've had to mow the lawn twice in a week for those scoring at home. Whoa. Here in the Midwest, wherever you may be listening or watching, you all feel the pain right there. But glad we got it done. That gives us a nice and free Monday here. A lot to get to, though, my friend. Some week two preseason to kind of dive into, some quarterback battles for sure. So we're almost there, man. It'll be here before you know it.
Oh, man. Let's go. Cannot wait. Marty Herney's going to join the program here a little bit later on this hour. RGM here at VSiN by the Books. Can't wait to catch up with Marty, get his thoughts. Will Hill will join us, the king of Connecticut, in hour number three. But it may be heating up right now for the quarterback competition in Cleveland. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Wherever you get your podcast, go back and listen on your time. Please like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books Pod. We played a little sound from Todd Monken earlier in the program, Jensen. He is thrilled with what he saw from Deshaun, over the moon with what he saw from Deshaun Watson. Jensen, do you get the vibe there in Cleveland that the coach, extended management, they wanted to be Deshaun Watson as the week one starter?
Well, Jimmy Haslam put his money where his mouth was way back when, so I think he wants at least some sort of ROI. But yeah, knowing that you did have Deshaun, this was the plan. Deshaun was going to start week one. Shedeur Sanders will start here in week two against Buffalo at home. Dylan Gabriel turned the ball over in his opportunity there, so I think he's kind of out of it at this point. So yes, do I think Deshaun Watson should be a $5 betting favorite to be the starter right now? No. But he certainly went a long way with the efficiency of what he showed against the Bears on the road in his first action in quite some time.
So again, as Jensen's referring to, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network's YouTube television, minus 480 is what you're seeing right now for those odds for Deshaun Watson to be the week one starter. So it feels like, at least in the betting market, might be set in stone. Jeremiah Love, I don't know when we're going to see him again. And I think if you're a Cardinal backer, and I know this is not supposed to be a banner year, they've got the lowest win total out there in the board, 3.5 at some shops here, Jensen. So it was going to be an uphill battle anyway. But this is the guy in that short shot here for Offensive Rookie of the Year. You know, you hate to get the kid dinged up in a meaningless game. That has happened here with Jeremiah Love. In those odds markets, I think you and I look to unders anyway. Now, when you see Jeremiah Love in this, would this discourage you here if you're looking to get involved in a Love future somewhere?
Immediately, yes, it would. And again, high ankle sprains, nothing to be trifled with. And I think that is the operative part of where we'll be here week to week. Obviously, won't see him in week two. What will his diagnoses be and potential availability for a week three? And then going up against the Chargers there for week one of the regular season. I'm going to say right now, Dave, optimistically, it's 50-50 that he shows up for week one. You cannot force this kind of injury as far as trying to play through it. This is a rest, a rehab, because, Dave, with running backs, forward and straight, that's not the issue. It's cutting, right? And making the sudden moves. That's the problem. And I don't, I mean, if you paid him the guaranteed money you did, what's the rush here? You need to make sure he's 100%, not 99% back. He's got to be 100% back. So again, his odds have not changed in Offensive Rookie of the Year, Dave, at plus 450. The guy that I would target would be Deshaun Stribling, who I gave out last week at 20-1. At least 22-1. He's down to 20-1. What a breakout he had. But this is more narrative based on he might be,
absolutely,
A, one of the only healthy options. B, he might be a featured option because of all the injuries to the 49ers receiving room. And think about the 49ers schedule, Dave, of the opponents that they're going to be up against to start the season. Okay, you're going to be in Australia to take on the Rams. Then the next 2 weeks, you would think beleaguered secondaries in Miami and Arizona. That could be a really quick start for Deshaun Stribling if indeed those dominoes fall in his favor.
Again, the biggest rise in the odds board, and again, that's why hopefully it pays to watch Beeson by the Books, as you gave out Stribling in a better number last week. And I told you, if you're looking for an extreme play, a real long shot out there, Ty Simpson at 100-1, you can't get Ty Simpson at 100-1 anymore. He's been cut in half now, down to 50-1. That's because he went 21-25 for 190 yards and two touchdowns, and the market reacted to that performance. Stetson Bennett, by the way, did play 4 of 6, 38 yards. So there's no guarantee that Ty Simpson's the backup, even if something happened to Matthew Stafford, but really did look good. I know it's vanilla defenses out there. We don't want to overreact to that, but the market has cut him in half. I would not advise playing that number today. Jackson Dart, Jensen, he says he's puzzled by the concussion check that he had to go into after taking that big hit in the preseason opener against the Vikings. He was checked for a concussion 5 times a year ago. That's a lot for a rookie, and now he's already had one here in preseason week number one, Jensen. I know it might be puzzling to him, but I don't think it's puzzling to you or I.
No, not at all. You got to make sure the face of the franchise is protected here. For what it's worth, Dave, Giants are 1.5 favorite against the Dolphins there in Miami on Saturday afternoon, NFL preseason week 2. Anxious to see what Steve Mackinnon has for us moving forward, Dave. If you tailed a lot of what we gave out from Bill AD's newsletter in week 1 about the conference foes, the unders of points totals that are 37 or higher, really cleaned up on a lot of week 1. Hopefully week 2 in similar regard. Just 2 games that we'll have on Thursday: Raiders and Texans in Houston, Niners and Chargers there at SoFi. Those games Thursday night will get week 2 of the preseason started this week.
You know, I wonder how much we take away from what the Brew Crew was able to do in LA. They take 3 of 4 over the weekend here against the Dodgers. And, you know, I'm starting to wonder, we've talked a lot about the Dodgers here post All-Star break and now certainly post trade deadline. And even though you go out there and get a Tarek Skubal, I wonder, Jensen, is there a real concern here? Because as of right now, they obviously would not be the number one seed. They would not have a bye as of today to get in, once we get into the postseason. They're going to win the West. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Is there any bigger issues at play here with the Dodgers, or just kind of that lull in the season that every team seems to go through?
No, that's pretty big. I think offensively we got problems. And I told you that last week. It was starting to creep up. And knowing that they've had some guys that have been pretty inconsistent, David, we just go in the month of August here and look at just runs scored for offenses. The Dodgers are 25th in baseball. Only the Rangers, Giants, Mariners, Yankees, and Angels have scored fewer runs than LA. They've scored 50 runs in 15 games. By contrast, when you look at where Milwaukee is right now, Dave, for best record on DraftKings, and I know you have a play on them at a substantially better number for the one seed in the National League, you are looking at not a lot of daylight between the Dodgers at +$1.40, Brewers +$1.80 for most regular season wins. Wild to think. When we started this year, Dave, and this was the biggest swing and miss I had in our VSiN MLB betting guide, I had the Brewers barely under 500 and missing the playoffs. They're right in line for the most wins of Major League Baseball again this year.
It's amazing.
They're one of the most surprising teams to me. This is just me, to almost replicate what they did last year and might even be better this year. But statement series win, especially after they lost and got swept by San Diego, who, by the way, has the most wins so far in August with 11. So really big statement series for the Brewers in SoCal, and they got to feel good about themselves the way they finished that West Coast swing.
Yeah, I do feel better about that ticket now, certainly after what happened this weekend in L.A. That was a big weekend there for those tickets. And again, we'll find out if they match up again down the road. I know the Dodgers swept them away last year. Last year is still last year for a reason. We'll find out what it looks like this year. Boy, they're waiting in New York for Aaron Judge. All rise. to get back in there. Did play catch for the first time in rehab. They haven't seen him since May 31st, Jensen. That feels like 10 years ago already. The Yankees lose 2-3 against the Blue Jays. They did salvage an important game yesterday to not get swept there north of the border. The offense, it's a problem right now, Jensen. I guess you got to be optimistic, at least more hopeful that you get your big fella back sooner rather than later.
Well, baby steps, right? And again, we were thinking when Brian Cashman had said before the All-Star break, they were hoping that, you know, the imaging they were going to get back, they knew it wasn't going to be clean, but maybe it would have been more optimistic that he'd be closer to beginning those upper body strengthening activities, not the baseball activities, they've just upper body strengthening. So the fact that he's now playing catch, he's not having to catch, Dave, he's playing catch. And I think that should at least give a little more oomph, a little morale boost to a group. Boy, they sorely need offense. He's not on the horizon by any means here. But you hope for Bellinger, maybe Giancarlo Stanton after him, and then Aaron Judge before the middle of September rolls around here.
I wanted to ask you very quickly, Joshua Baez, what we saw in historic fashion at Wrigley Field, three homers and three at-bats. We've never seen that in the history of the game, Jensen. I mean, how in the world can you even compartmentalize what we saw at Wrigley?
No, you can't. It's surreal. And you know, Chip Carey saying you've been doing it for a long time, and for the first time he felt speechless, and he should have. just a remarkable, remarkable job by a young man that just took his opportunity by storm. Hey, St. Louis is right in the fight here. They're 9-5 in August. They're right in the precipice of a wild card berth. What a series win they had. They dominated Chicago this weekend on the north side.
I saw some Met fans out there posting David Stearns in response to different Baez, people, different Baez, not the same guy. Let's talk some college football. That's next right here at VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
College football season is almost here, and betting it blind is a losing strategy, that is for sure. So get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. It's free with a VSiN Pro subscription. It's got previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from some of the sharpest minds here at the network. And that is not all. VSiN Pro Access also gets you the NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can try it today for as little as $9.99 or lock in a full year and save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. All you got to do is head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. Marty Herney is going to join the program in the next segment. Our GM here can't wait to pick Marty's brain on the NFL. But let's talk a little bit more college football here because we're getting to week zero. That's coming up, not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday, going overseas for North Carolina and TCU. And by the way, we talked about this number when it was at 6.5. It's now at 7.5, Jensen, here for TCU. We'll break this game down a little bit later on in the program, but that number is on the move. Something to keep an eye on there. I mentioned the difference in the NFL in the way that we kind of consume it, getting ready for the regular season, and how different it is in college football. That you don't really get much of a glimpse here, Jensen, before you get to week zero and then, of course, week one. Very quickly, just from a betting perspective, how cautious are you earlier in the season and how much are you trusting the people with kind of boots on the ground, those beat reporters that get to watch those practices? Because there really is no preseason to glean anything from.
Yeah, again, you have a lot of the powder puff matchups to start, right? So we see a lot of big spreads there in week one, and that's always the gift and the curse, right? Because you know you're going to get the starters, at least for the first half, and then it's how coaches are. Do they want to run it up? We have coaches that do know the spreads. We do have Lane Kiffin, who absolutely knows what to cover and when to do that. That being said, I do look for a couple of situational spots where you have, you know, those returning veteran offenses that you would look to a first half of, okay, you know that they're going to try and get out quickly. They're going to try and establish themselves, getting a good cadence, getting a good rhythm. So those are things that you can certainly look at. I wanted to bring up, we talk about season ending and big time injuries in the NFL. The SEC has gotten crushed here this past week, Dave. Just going to run them down and get your thoughts on it. So South Carolina, again, not going to be, I think, one of the contenders. Shane Beamer's crew does have one of the quarterbacks to watch, though, in Lenora Sellers. They did lose, though, two key wide receivers, season-ending lower body injuries. Jaden Sellers, who's the younger brother there of Lenoris at South Carolina, and then the Oklahoma transfer in Jaden Gibson. Both of those injuries suffered last week. The team announced that yesterday. Sellers, at least the Jaden Seller version, true freshman last year, was going to be counted on a lot this year. And then, of course, Gibson had missed a couple of seasons already in Oklahoma with injuries, but had recorded 375 receiving yards, five touchdowns in 2023, last time that he played. So he's out. That's a big loss there for South Carolina. Another one, because I know we have a few people at the network that really like Alabama. They just lost their freshman, A.K. Deer, for 6 weeks because of an ankle injury in a preseason scrimmage. That, according to multiple reports, Kalen DeBoer had said Thursday this past week that Deer was injured in the first of two scrimmages. They were going to evaluate him and then test, revealing that the severity of that injury was going to be upwards of 6 weeks. Now, why is that important? Because Deer, as a redshirt freshman, had been challenging for the starting job to replace Jam Miller. And now you're looking at some more young pups that Kalen DeBoer may have to turn to. Trayshawn Brown, EJ Kroll, and Daniel Hill are those guys that are going to be tasked with potentially being the starter. At least I would imagine that you could see a committee early, knowing what Alabama's schedule is. But I'll start there, because we know offense in the SEC and what you got to put up each and every week to lose those kind of skill players, notably for South Carolina, who, hey, they're going to be having to throw the football a lot. We feel that they could be behind a fair amount this year. But Alabama, too, predicated on line of scrimmage play, Kalen DeBoer wanting to establish that line of scrimmage and really get that run game locked in. Yeah, that's a big loss. And here, remember, Alabama has East Carolina to start the year, but then at Kentucky, tricky scheduling spot for them. Home against Florida State, South Carolina then to get back to the SEC. Not ideal to lose a guy that you were kind of hopeful would be a big impact back for you early on.
Yeah, it's a great point, because what did Alabama really suffer and what did they do poorly last year? Run the football. It's kind of amazing that they even won a game in the college football playoff coming back to beat Oklahoma in the manner in which they did. They were hanging with Indiana, if you remember, in that first half. And then, Jensen, they just got dominated on the line of scrimmage, on both lines of the scrimmage, right? Now, I think the defense this year will be better, and I'd be surprised if that happens again. But part of that was they were on the field too long, because they could not control the football against the big boys offensively. And you lose potentially a key cog in that running back room right now. That's a bit of a flag for me. I like this team too, and I really liked them last year. But if you can't run the football effectively in this league, as you well know, Jensen, man, that gets really tough. I mean, that's, I think, what Vanderbilt's success last year, part of it was not just the quarterback, but they were physical. In Alabama, you know, that was the whisper post Nick Saban, that as good as Kalen DeBoer is, and he is a very good head coach, that they've lost a little bit of that physicality on both lines of scrimmage. And if they don't get that back right away, and it's because of injury here, no fault of his own, that's a problem. So you've got to be able to run the ball more effectively this year than you did last year. If Alabama's going to have 8-1 success as the third betting choice to win the conference, I think that's a bit of a flag. You mentioned South Carolina. They're an extreme long shot at 52-1. This was a team, though, Jensen, that I was looking at to get involved with as a possible over team. This does give me pause because, again, unlike the Alabamas and some of the bigger boys for Shane Beamer, you know, if Beamer starts to have attrition at key spots, I just don't think they're as well equipped. And that's why the odds board is reflecting it, to be able to stand tall in some of those games you'd have to win as a long shot here to potentially be an over team. So that gives me pause to kind of sit back a little bit and go, well, let me see what South Carolina really looks like. Because it was a team that I thought regressed last year. They had really high hopes at the beginning of the year. It didn't manifest itself. This does give me a little bit concern, though, Jensen. As I look at the underbelly of it, yeah, South Carolina's the vanities that we've talked about before. You mentioned Kentucky could be a surprise week in, week out early for Alabama. I want to back Shane Beamer because I really like the Beamer family, and I trust in what they do. But are they good enough? And it's hard for me to get around that here for South Carolina with some of these injuries early in the season.
Yeah, look ahead lines for them. They have Kent State to open the year at home, then Towson. They should be able to handle those. But those were healthy 30-plus point spreads that they were laying. You wonder if knowing you lose your top two targets for Lenora Sellers, that could be an issue. Speaking of running the ball, we do need to mention it because it did happen last week. Reports that Jordan Lyle, running back there in Miami, was charged with the felony count of fleeing and eluding police, misdemeanor account of reckless driving. Reason why that is big, Dave, we all know it's Mark Fletcher Jr. there to get the start and return there as the bell cow for the Miami Hurricanes offense. But Lyle was probably in line to be a key cog at some point in that offense, maybe a change of pace there to be able to spell Mark Fletcher Jr. Does not look like that is going to be the case. Just wanted to mention that because that does alter a little bit of what Mario Cristobal wants to do in the Miami backfield. One other thought for you, because I know the ACC and you're very high on Virginia Tech. There are a lot of people that like Clemson on our network and looking at where Dabo Swinney can resurrect, weird to say, got to resurrect the Clemson program for what's happened the last couple of years. Are they the primary contender to Miami in your eyes? And again, putting the Hokies aside for a moment, where would you put Clemson in your eyes for what they bring to the table this year?
I got to be honest, I'm a little bit surprised to see that they're 14-1 to win the ACC. And Miami, as you mentioned, they are odds on at $1.40. Clemson's not the second betting choice, people. They're the fourth betting choice behind SMU and Louisville. I mean, Dabo, you're behind SMU and Louisville in your own league? That has got to be a whoosh if you're Clemson out there a little bit. Look, I'm going to trust the pedigree of some of these coaches, and I wanted to ask you, we'll talk about this a lot more before we get to week one in college football, with a guy like Mario Cristobal. Like, I still trust Dabo Swinney more in a betting market than I do Mario Cristobal, even though the odds on at $1.40, and I know they got so close to winning the national championship a year ago. So maybe those things have been quelled by some. Jensen, I'm not ready to get there and go, Dabo 14-1, Mario odds on. I'm kind of with the people that like a resurgence from Clemson, and it does feel odd to say a resurgence from Clemson after what he did not that long ago in bringing this program back to prominence. I don't know that I'd be looking to fade the Tiger here early in the season, that's for sure. So I think in the short for me, Jensen, that is a team that I'd look to rebound here, and I do think they're going to take that as a little bit of a slap in the face and put a chip right on their shoulder. When we come back, RGM, Marty Herney, does he take anything away from what he saw in some of these quarterback battles? We'll discuss next right here on VSiN by the Books.
Onyx, I keep having stomach issues. Please make me a doctor's appointment.
Okay, are you suffering from...
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, on this Monday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. We always look forward to the conversations with our GM here on the network, Marty Herney. Of course, check him out with Jeff Schwartz talking football here, DraftKings Sports Network, with certainly a lot of football talk each and every week on the podcast. Jensen, I want to ask Marty here, as he joins us on the Progressive Guest Line, about a conversation we were just having during the break a little bit. Sometimes VSiN during the break might need to be its own show, Marty. But, we were talking about how this is not abnormal, the amount of injuries that we're seeing in the preseason. From a GM's perspective, can you pull back the curtain a little bit for what that's like as a GM, knowing that these injuries are going to mount?
Yeah, I mean, and that's why you're always working on plan B. This time of year, it's so hard because everybody's in a camp, right? So if you get a rash of injuries, and it comes down to two types of injuries, you're either looking at your players that were going to make an impact on the roster during the season, or the guys who are there for training camp, but you need numbers to get through practice and do what you want to do. So that's every morning. I think it's probably your first thought every morning you wake up in training camp is let's stay healthy today. And you know, it's different viewpoints as a general manager, scouts, you know, when you're out there, you find players, you say, listen, you know, let's not do a lot and get them hurt. But coach is saying, we got to do what we have to do. Get ready for the season. This is not an easy game to play. And you have to take those reps, those physical and mental reps. So it's every year, I think we say, you know, it's more injuries than ever, but it really is just that time of year that's the major thing you have to deal with is injuries.
Yeah, Marty, it's a great point. I was telling Dave, I can remember spring trainings where, you know, it was different for me. When I knew I was on the team, you know, kind of ramping up, you go to the backfields, do the live BPs. And then those first couple of games against a different team, you know, I wasn't as results oriented on it. I wanted to make sure the ball was coming out of my hand well. I wanted to make sure my tempo, my cadence, my delivery. I was more worried about, am I on time? Is it going well? I'm interested now because we are getting into week two of the preseason. And let's start with Arizona, because two guys in Carson Beck and specifically Jeremiah Love, who now with the high ankle sprain, this is an issue. Where are you on how Arizona deals specifically with Love? Because high ankles, man, you got to rest it. And he is such an important part, not only the near term, but for what that franchise may look like here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, Jeremiah Love's a little different because he's gotten enough touches to me where you put him on the bench until opening week, probably. You know, it's just a little bit more complicated of an answer than the question, just because to play the quarterback and really to play Jeremiah Love, now you're playing your first string offensive line. So where are you there health wise? You're not going to put your, you know, quarterback, the young quarterback that's developing, behind the second or third unit. So it's a complicated thing. You really do want to get as many reps for the young quarterback. That's where the joint practices are very helpful because you can get him all the reps you want and know that he's not going to get hit, you know, with the red jersey on. If I was Arizona right now, I would want to try to see, get Carson Beck as many reps as possible, even though he's not seeing anything like he's going to see when the regular season starts. The coverages have been bland. Everybody's just given, you know, really basic looks. Mm-hmm. So, but I would like to see him get as many reps. Love, I'd put him on the bench until the season opens.
You know, it's interesting because people are going to glean what they want. I had heard people in Steelers camp, as you're talking about those joint practices and certainly individual practices, just saying Drew Aller really looks the part. We saw the devastating injury at Penn State to end his career there, and we didn't know what he'd look like. Then he looked really good with bright lights, and Will Howard has looked good as well behind Aaron Rodgers there. Marty, what's that delicate balance like? Would you keep two young quarterbacks behind Aaron Rodgers? Because you have Mason Rudolph on the roster as well. Or do you try to sneak one of these guys through into the practice squad? What is that dynamic like?
Yeah, I wouldn't be sneaking either one of those guys anywhere. I'd keep both of them on the roster. And, you know, I was thinking last night, I mean, I think that's one of the major stories right now. The preseason is in both of those quarterbacks. They love both those young quarterbacks. You just get the sense that Drew Aller is really going to come on. And if I had to choose one to be the favorite to win the job in the future, it would be him. And I'm telling you, Mike McCarthy is a very underrated quarterback coach, football coach, one of the most underrated coaches in the league. I love the guy. I've spent time in the barn with him the season he was out. He's a really good quarterback coach. He's going to develop these two young guys. And I think this is as optimistic about the Steelers that I have been you know, while obviously Aaron Rodgers comes in, but you're really looking for the future. You're looking for some hope. And really the only player for a really a team that struggles, the quarterback's the position and the player that can bring hope. And I think that these two young guys have brought some measure of hope to the Steelers fans this year.
Yeah, I seem to remember a guy out of Miami of Ohio, a big, strong, big arm guy by the name of Ben Roethlisberger. We're not, I'm not saying that we've got the reincarnation here with Drew Aller and or Will Howard, but you're right, Marty. It, for the first time in a long time, you feel like the future is in good hands. Speaking of good hands, where are we with the Giants offensive line? Jackson Dart planted like a flag in the middle of the field in week one, has to be taken to the blue tent. No laughing matter. And I only laugh because, like, come on, man, we can't have this happen to our franchise quarterback. Any concern for you offensive line wise there with the G-men in the Meadowlands?
Well, yeah, and you've got to understand, first year of the coach, so this is going to be a building team. I do think this offensive line is better than it was. You know, if you keep the left tackle healthy, you got the rookie, the Francis Maui Noah. So I think, you know, the center's hurt right now. He'll be back. Is it a great offensive line? No, but could it be kind of near the middle, you know, middle one way or the other? I think yes. So I think the biggest, most important thing is Jackson Dart's got to learn to protect himself, and he has got to get down. And I think John Harbaugh has probably been stressing that every practice, but obviously you're right. The health of Jackson Dart really is, you know, will determine how much success they have. And he's just got to, they got to keep him healthy. But you can do that with play calling as well. But he's just got to get down when he gets in open field.
Yeah, and you're right. Coach Harbaugh's talked about that in practice and actually kind of beams Marty when he does get down, right? Like, he's listening. He's right. Listening to us. Let's slide. Let's learn how to get down here. You know, we try not to overreact, certainly, to the good that you see in preseason, because a lot that's not normally going to translate all the time, obviously, to the real season here. But when you see Tua Tagovailoa and the way it looked for the ATL in his first time with his new team there with Kevin Stefanski didn't seem overly alarmed by it. The player himself did take a lot of ownership over and said how bad it looked and it's got to look better. Where are you now after seeing what it looked like with Tua for the first time?
I'm still where I was before. You know, it's still a wait and see. I'm not very optimistic. I mean, I just think that he needs to, we need to see consistency and the ability to stay healthy. And I just don't know. I think the odds are very high for those two things to happen. I think that I like a lot of the players Atlanta's got on their roster, but obviously quarterback is the biggest question with Michael Penix coming off the injury and Tua. I just think that, you know, they're going to have to run the ball a lot. They're going to have to be a very balanced offense with Bijan Robinson running the football. But, you know, their biggest question mark on offense and really on the team right now, I would think, would be do they have a quarterback who can step up and be able for them to win games with him?
Marty, last one from me. We overreact in Cleveland here, or at least I don't, but a lot of people do, watching the Browns quarterback carousel. Deshaun Watson, not bad for knocking off the rust. Big takeaways for you from watching him against the Bears there on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is sort of like the Atlanta situation in opposite on the other side to me, because I think that just like you knew Tua was going to be the first man up there. I think Cleveland Watson was going to be the same. He's going to start the opener. We are going to see how much Deshaun Watson can come back to the form he had when he was highly recruited coming out and what Todd Monken can do with him. And he's an excellent quarterback coach. So fully expect Watson to start the opener.
Yeah, and love your take on Big Mike McCarthy. That's exactly where I've been all summer long with the Steelers too, Marty. In Big Mike, I trust. I like what he's doing there, and you're right about developing those young guys there, certainly in the Steel City. Great stuff as always. Check out the GM Shuffle, DraftKings Network with he and Jeff Schwartz. We're coming back talking some baseball Daily Diamond. It's up next right here at VSiN by the Books. Clock for the second annual Pro Football Futures Draft here at the Network. 13 VSiN hosts and guests going to face off in a fantasy football style snake draft hosted by the big Swede, Dustin Swedelson. Every pick doubles as a handicapping breakdown that you can use to your advantage. Win totals, divisional winners, player props, stat leaders. Last year's competitors are all back, but for round two, they're going to be joined by three newcomers stepping into the Futures Draft room for the first time. You might have heard of them. Former number one pick, Keyshawn Johnson. Comedian and sports commentator Nick Bakay, he is a riot. And the guru himself, John Hansen, will be on the show. So don't just watch the Futures Draft. You can profit from it. Tune in Thursday, August 20th, 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Last year, fourth place finish for yours truly. I think, Jensen, you were right there behind me. So we didn't get show supremacy. Patrick Maher is the individual champ. I believe we got clipped by... I think it was Matt and Tim, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. I think VSiN Primetime got us by a skosh. So we came in second as a team, if you will. So we'd be looking to up the ante this year. Cannot wait for the additions and those great additions to the show this year as well. Let's get to Major League Baseball here, Jensen. Lots on the docket today. A lot of interesting games over the weekend, maybe with some implications for the future. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Diamond. First of all, Jensen, before we get to some of the individual games today on the docket that you might like, what were your big takeaways here from the weekend? Would it have been, obviously, the Brewers? I think some people, when I look at that 3-4 against the Dodgers, I feel like the Blue Jays back in it, winning another series, 2 out of 3 against the Yanks, they're only a game back. What was one of your bigger takeaway points?
White Sox sweeping the Tigers. Big statement as Detroit was so hot coming in, had the Southsiders at home there and absolutely get dethroned or decimated, I should say. That's a huge, huge shift in where we are for the American League Central race. But more importantly, when you look at the topography of where we are in the American League wild card race too, you still have all these sub 500 teams that are just about a game and a half, 2.5 games out. Seattle with a big win on Sunday Night Baseball last night. Dave, beginning play today, the Baltimore Orioles occupy the final wild card spot, winners of 3 in a row in Tampa. They go for the 4-game sweep later on tonight. But between Baltimore and Seattle, you have 7 teams within 2.5 games of the final wild card spot. It's just mind-boggling to think about on the American League side. Did want to kind of zoom out a little bit and look at a second wind, if you will. Since the All-Star break, Dave, some key categories that I like to look at that give you a little bit of a filter as to which teams have really turned it on here. And now with a pretty healthy sample, right? So the All-Star break, middle of July, we're now 2 months through, basically, or at least a month through, I should say, of where we are into the second half. So as far as offense goes, the Boston Red Sox, top run-scoring offense, not a surprise considering, you know, what they put together in that big, long winning streak. So a lot of that predicated on what they did from that timeline until now. Some other of those teams might surprise you, and most notably, looking at the Washington Nationals. Now, they ended up slipping to 5th after yesterday as San Diego went ahead of them just a little bit, but Boston, Chicago, and Detroit remain as those top run scoring offenses. Want to bring your attention to batting average on balls and players. We like to refer in short form, BABIP. It's a big indicator of where you are as far as an offense and putting the ball in play and what you're generating from that. So again, as it says, batting average of balls in play. These are going to look a little familiar because if you're scoring, you're obviously doing damage when you put the ball in play. Cubs number one, Tigers number two, Padres number three. That's where I want to start with you because you have that nice ticket on the Padres to make the postseason. Now, I went back and looked, and one of my big futures, too, is the Padres at 20-1 to win the National League. And with where the trials and tribulations have been with the LA Dodgers, make no mistake about it, they are in harm's way right now. And San Diego is tied with Philadelphia for the final wild card spot or final two wild card spots with the Diamondbacks just a game behind. Are you still bullish on San Diego with what they've put together? They obviously went in and they beat the Guardians. They win a series over the weekend in Cleveland to continue that momentum. Still wanting to buy more stock in San Diego, or are you happy with where your position is right now?
I'm sitting pretty right now. Here's what I got, Jensen. Really, the team for me that I'm rooting against, it's the Snakes out there in the desert, because I'm positioned well here with a nice big-time plus money ticket on the Padres to make it, and also, as you know, the fighting fish down there in Miami. So if I get one of those two teams in, we're going to clear some positive ROI, that's for sure, on one of those two tickets. Now, if it's Arizona and it's not San Diego and it's not Miami, we're going to take a slight loss there. But I like where we're positioned there. Look, this is why I mentioned them in June, kind of waiting for them. And as I kept saying, like the back of the bubblegum card starting to look like it, and it's starting to do that. They're starting to hit a little bit more and more. And the pitching, I think we know, is pretty solid, certainly the bullpen as well. I'd really like to see Miami, Jensen. That would be the team that I'd love to see if they could get across the line. That's a bigger ticket at +750, I think, to make the postseason. But as long as it's one of those two and it's not the Snakes, then I'll be happy with that. But look, I'm nervy because Arizona, boy, they've had a great start to their second half as well. So no guarantees that either one of those two tickets gets home.
Yeah, San Diego 19-10 since the All-Star break. Arizona 17-12 and has made up a boatload of ground. One more quick point on the pitching side of that second win graphic we have. Team ERA, always fun to look at just because it does give you a little bit of semblance of how well a team is pitching. But Dave, a category that I like to look at, and if you are a fan of fan graphs, this is strikeout to walk percentage. So again, the ratio of how many times a team is striking out versus walking, this really tells you much better and a clearer look at which staffs are being incredibly efficient and limiting not only extra free passes or traffic, but generating a high amount of swing and miss in correlation. Probably not going to shock you. The Milwaukee Brewers are number one. It will shock you that the Cleveland Guardians are number two. And they did just get passed by the Yankees yesterday. So you can flip-flop two and three. But more the point of, it doesn't necessarily translate for Cleveland in the win-loss department. They're 9-19 since the All-Star break. Their pitching staff's been phenomenal, or at least they have been better. They've been giving themselves a chance to win. They have no offense to speak of. The other team is the Tampa Bay Rays. And yes, they've fallen on some hard times here, losing three straight against the Baltimore Orioles. But I bring those up because if you look at Team ERA, and then you also look at that strikeout to walk ratio, it is a good way to look at the futures market at which teams over this large sample now since the All-Star break of who you can really buy into what you've seen on the field. In the postseason, Dave, you know I preach this a lot. What do you have to do? You have to hit the ball out of the ballpark as an offense. You have to generate swing and miss as a pitching staff. So a good way to kind of look at if you're looking to buy some stock in some futures, those are two areas, ERA, but more notably strikeout to walk percentage, to try and buy or at least look at teams that you'd want to hit your wagon to find their way to the postseason.
You know, I keep looking at that American League, as you mentioned, at with the Rays and the Yankees kind of being the cream of it right now. Only one can get in there as a division winner, obviously. And we know how great the Red Sox have been in the second half here. You wake up and you see Baltimore right now occupying that third and final wild card spot here, Jensen. Half game lead over the Rangers, a game over the Blue Jays, and a game over the Tigers. And yet, Twins are only a game and a half back. Guards are only a game and a half back. And there are the Mariners at 2.5 back. Is this going to hold with Baltimore? I mean, Charm City might be living a charmed life that they wake up and they're actually a playoff team at the season ended today.
All right, so the Orioles right now, +250 to make the postseason. Mariners now back down to +255. Your Blue Jays are at +290. It is insanity right now watching this American League wildcard race. And don't think for a moment that the Red Sox are in the clear. They've lost 7 of 10 now They got beat around pretty good by the Pittsburgh Pirates here over the weekend. Just kind of watch a little bit of where Boston is at this point. We knew that they couldn't keep playing 850 percentage win percentage baseball. Right. And again, it's a credit to, they were amazing. I actually like Arizona in Fenway Park tonight. Mitch Bratt, a guy that has really trended well and has come up and been excellent for the Arizona Diamondbacks. I actually do like Arizona, a little unit and a half money line play as a short road underdog in Fenway Park tonight. This offense is really trending well with what Corbin Carroll, Gabby Moreno have done. Let's put a pin in Nolan Arenado, see if he's going to be able to come back. I know he left with an injury over the weekend, but Mitch Bratt, by Fangraphs power ranking, Dave, is the number 15 starting pitcher the last 2 weeks in all of Major League Baseball. Give me the Snakes.
Wow.
Short money line underdog on the road in Fenway against the Red Sox tonight.
I don't know who to root for. Can I get a tie? I guess you can't get that in Major League Baseball here, Jensen, with Arizona and the Red Sox. When we come back, we got a lot to get to here. Of course, going to catch up with the King in Connecticut. Will Hill's going to join the program. Our best bets. We're going to break down college football, take an emphasis look at week zero. It's all straight ahead right here on VSiN by the Books.